If you're listening to this right now, it's because you're a fan of Best Hour of Their Day and probably me, but not so much Fern. That tends to be the norm. But if you are listening, we just want to ask you for one favor. Please support us on Patreon. Patreon is where we put some bonus episodes up. It's really the only thing we ask for. We've been doing this podcast for 2 years now, and we do it because we have a love for fitness. We have a love for helping others, a passion for developing other people and helping them become the best possible coach that they can be. And we do it because we love it. We don't ask for anything, but we are asking that you support us on Patreon. It's $6 for the price of your fancy Frappuccino with hazelnut syrup or whatever it is you get over at Starbucks. You can support the show. And as we get more and more supporters on Patreon, by the way, it's patreon.com/besthouroftheirday. We're going to be adding even more. Right now, it's a free bonus episode where we answer all of your questions, but we plan on putting so much more out there, exclusive and early content, access to things that, you know, everybody else doesn't get. So once again, we don't ask for much. So if you love the show, if we're helping you, chances are if you listen to this show and you're a coach or a box owner, we've helped you make way more than $6. And not only that, we've helped just make your life better, whether we entertain you or whether you've implemented many of the awesome things we talk about here on the show. Check it out. If you don't, you know what? You can keep listening to the show. You can keep tuning in on a regular basis. Yeah, we put 3 episodes out every week. You don't have to support us on Patreon. We still want you to listen, but if you can, we appreciate it.
We are here because we are dedicated to helping the entire CrossFit community. Determined to elevate coaches, box owners, athletes, and everything in between, we believe that this mission will begin right here, right now. While this time and this goal begins with you, our hope is that you take this fire ignited within you and weave it into your own life with the same unrelenting passion to give those you have the privilege of coming in contact with the best hour of their day.
How's fatherhood treating you?
Honestly,
how many? So no. Far. I want to ask a more direct question. How many naps have you taken since you have been a father for how long have you been a father? 48 hours? No,
it'll be 72 tonight.
72.
Yeah.
Okay, so how many naps have you taken? Actually, I'm gonna really get the questions out of this that I want. How many hours have you slept since becoming a father?
Okay. You've asked me a lot of questions, so
try to keep up.
Point being, it's hard to keep up right now because I am sleep deprived. Knowing me, you know how I do need my naps, aka my downtime. Right now, it feels like any sleep I'm getting is only a nap. It's all for the first two nights. It was just the first night we were just up. It was one of those nights where you feel like you watch the clock and it's just getting later and you're like, all right, I can get 5 hours of sleep. Okay, I can get 4 hours of sleep. And then at some point I was like, hopefully I can just get like two. Like if I can close my eyes for two, and I did. And it's amazing. Roz and I were both saying how your body quickly adapts to that. Like, okay, I can survive on this no sleep. Of course that would end. So the second night was the worst. You know, everybody kept coming into the hospital, like, just so you know, second night, cluster feeding, second night, she's going to be up, second night. I'm in my mind, I was like, whatever. Like,
I know what I'm doing.
She was.
I'm Jason Ackerman. I wrote a book. I own 3 CrossFit affiliates. Right? Like, how hard could having a child at the age of 42 be? I don't know. Like, it's not a big deal.
She was up all night that second night. And it was interesting that I've understood. I thought about you a lot those two nights because I understood how like a baby can be screaming and you just close your eyes and you're able to sleep. Like
me, I'm personally.
Well, no, but you're like, you know, that people will tell you, like, as a parent, you're going to lose your sleep. And like, she'd be crying and I'm like, just laying there. Like, it's okay. I'm sleeping. Like I can, you can fall asleep through that now. Like you get so tired where you're just like, whatever.
Well, that's exhaustion. What you will not do is get sound sleep for many, many, many months because you're going to be paranoid about the baby.
Well, that's
people ask you, like, do you take naps at home? And I'm like, no, because I'm in constant fear of my children running around doing something that is going to harm themselves.
Well, that's the thing. When she was in like the bassinet or whatever you call it in the hospital room, you hear every noise. Like you're aware that she's there and you're not just, you're hyper aware. So you don't actually get to go to sleep because you're worried that something's going to happen.
I mean, yeah, it's, I still am in that state. My son turns 2 on Monday and it's like your senses don't turn off. That's why this is the same reason I say that there's a difference between a vacation and a trip. If you have children with you, it is in no way, shape or form a vacation. It is a trip with little insane people.
So
I want everybody to answer another question. Oh, hold on. I want to let everybody into how unprepared Jay is for this. He's like, hey, we got to do this. I got to get in the car. And I don't think it's going to be as fast as it used to be to just leave the house. And
we got to go take her to a doctor appointment soon.
No. Everything is an hour now. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
You want to go get the mail at the end of your driveway? It's an hour. Yeah.
We would typically leave at 2 to go where we have to go. And Roz is like, we should leave at like 1:30. I'm like, all right. Oh, she's right. Because we don't know what the expectation is. But
your first child. So you guys are going to be helicopter parents and you're going to be over prepared for everything. Be like, why do you have 17 binkies? Well, we don't know. One of them might fall on the floor and we can't ever use that one again. Be like 78 bottles and 74 diapers. Just like, you know, when you have your second one, you're just like, they'll survive. They'll be okay.
No. Well, funny story about that. The second night, the baby's crying and the nurse, these nurses are amazing, by the way.
Like PICU, NICU nurses, peds nurses have a very special place in heaven.
Yeah. They are just, especially the overnight ones. Like she would come in and it's like, at first I was like, why is she saying these things so many times, talking slowly? And then you realize one, because she knows you're exhausted and you're not retaining anything. And two, it's newfound knowledge. So like, I know everything about like bilirubin now, which is jaundice. And I got to go, that's what she's got to go in for. And she would just like talk. I'd be like, please just go. Like, let me close my eyes. And she would just linger. But then by the end, I was like, I love this woman.
The what's the word I'm looking for? The misconception for new parents is that the nurses are there for the baby.
Yeah, right.
They're not. They're there for the parents. They're like, hey, we're here to make sure that you don't lose your mind and that you actually understand how to take care of this little tiny person.
But the patience that they have for the babies is unreal. Like they love babies.
Dude, like, we spent 94 days in the NICU. I'm all about some neonatal nurses and like,
my point being like, I love my baby. I probably don't care that much about other babies still, like despite being a newfound parent. Maybe I'll change in time, but this lady loves our baby.
Well, they're very passionate about it. But that's a hard job, because particularly if NICU nurses, you guys very, very fortunate were did not have to spend any time there. I mean, no, because she was 39 weeks, 40 weeks. She almost full term.
She was two days early.
So, because at least in the NICU circumstances, like not all the babies make it out of NICU or they have a really horrific time in the NICU. So the NICU is a terrifying place. I don't care, this is something that we experienced when when Logan was born is that, she was born very early. Now there are babies that are born earlier than Logan was born. So just for reference, everybody who doesn't know the story, she was born 15 weeks premature. So 25, so full term is 40 weeks. She was born at 25 right. weeks and 2 days. She's born 1 pound, 10 ounces. The earliest, for the most part, feasible is right at about 23 weeks. So at that point, you're just trying, like, when you're at the 23 to 25 range, like every day in the womb is like a big deal. It's just like, keep them in there one more day, keep them in there one more day. And where I was going with that is like, you only have your own perspective, right? So everybody in the NICU is terrified. And then people would, you know, who also had babies in the NICU, would be like, well, you know, ours wasn't that bad. Like, you know, we weren't in there for that long, even though Logan was in there for 3 months. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're a parent, you don't know any different. It's just the most terrifying thing of all time. Like, it doesn't matter that we were there 94 days and you were there 4 weeks. I'm like, it's all terrifying. Like, there's nothing fun about it. So just being a new parent is overwhelming in general for a whole host of reasons. And that was one of the things that I took away from that is like, it's, you know, because while we were there for a long time, there were the people there that went through way worse than what we went through. And I was like, okay, this is terrible, but like, that's awful. You know, most of it is just the unknown. You don't know anything in the NICU and nobody's going to give you a straight answer because, you know, because they could be wrong, you know, and they'll be like, well, we can't necessarily say yes or no. And I'm like, well, that's not helpful because my wife is manic right now. So thank you.
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend who messaged me while we were there because she saw that we had the baby, and I hadn't spoken to her since the day we broke up. This was probably like 6, 7, 8 years ago, and she was a NICU nurse. And it was really nice that she reached out to me because we didn't have the best of endings. So it's always nice to have one less person on this planet that hates you. But you know, I thanked her for reaching out, thanked her for her advice, and said to her like, man, when we were dating and you were a NICU nurse, I had no idea what you did. So, you know, really told her like, so impressive, like that, you know, that A, that you were able to deal with me for that long, and B, while you were a NICU nurse. But this NICU nurse, Janet, comes in the second night and she's like,
well, so this is probably not a NICU nurse, but it is.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. Not a NICU nurse, just a pediatric. So, yeah. She comes in the second night. She's like, look, she had to do some tests and she gave her a pacifier. And she brings the baby back in, Madison Grace, by the way. She brings Madison back in and she's like, I'm going to tell you something. I gave her this pacifier and she liked it. But I was like, give her that fucking pacifier. I don't care what you're about to follow this up with. She was like, but I was like, there's nothing you're going to say right now, but it's going to, you know, cause her to become an alien. Give her this pacifier, you know, but it has long-term health effects. I was like, this is crazy that we didn't have this earlier even. Like, it had only been 24 hours. I was like, why have you been holding out on us?
Wait, what did she say? I'm going to give her the pacifier, but what?
The big thing was, because she's just getting used to nursing, you don't want to confuse her and you don't want her to not want to nurse because this is so pacifying. And I was like, I don't care. We will deal with that. We will figure out how to get her to breastfeed.
It's not as pacifying as the boob, I'll tell you that. And now, because some of that is just like, some babies just don't latch. You know, like Logan did.
No, she's great.
Chappie did, all that stuff. So,
to that point, you and I were discussing, but Roz's nipples are in some serious pain. Also strange how quickly nipples go from enjoyment for me to they no longer involve me, because
probably happened months ago. Roz just was very polite and didn't tell you. Yeah.
The night before she was born, you know, Roz doesn't listen, so it's okay. You know, we had sex and you know, I was enjoying her nipples. Now they're no longer available to me. And
they're not yours.
But anyway,
until your wife, your wife is definitely going to find out about this episode. So I can't wait.
She would be okay with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, the pacifier, huge. It's amazing. And it's also amazing how quickly as parents, you can have these like, okay, I'm going to be the parent that does no pacifier, you know, raw vegetable, whatever the thing is. And you're just like, Your baby's crying. Give it whatever the fuck it wants.
Whatever. Yeah. No, I got some really great advice from Jomo before we had our kid. And he was just like, listen, a lot of people are going to give you advice. And he's like, I'm only going to give you, these are just guidelines. He was just like, don't ever change the environment for nap time and don't ever heat up a bottle. And I was like, okay, I can deal with that. And then we didn't really have to worry about that because Logan was in the NICU, but that actually helped with her because she was basically overstimulated in the NICU because everything's beeping. There's people always running around. It's just constant noise all the time with the exception of like, and I don't mean like train type noise, but there's constant, it's never silent in the NICU. That's the thing, right? So there are a lot of like NICU babies are very desensitized and some of them later have like sensory issues, but so we have never done that. And that's what people would make fun of. I mean, you've seen the pictures that we used to post on Instagram where like we had this whole hashtag where like Logan sleeps anywhere. We're like, this is not my most bright shining moment as a parent, but we went to a bar when she was little with a bunch of our friends one time, and no, people weren't smoking there, but there was the only place to sit was next to the band. So she was in her car seat and we just kind of like laid a blanket over her and yeah, and she just passed out 7 feet away from a live band because she could sleep anywhere.
And that's interesting too, because I'm purposely trying not to be super quiet when she's sleeping because you want to get
the yeah. Yeah. Turn the vacuum, like throw pans, you know, like we got to the point where like we used to have a really big Great Dane and his bark was just her like just atrociously loud and deep. And even him barking would not wake her up. Now as I'm an older parent, I'm like, now I'm a little alarmed that she could just, the house could be on fire and I'm like, is she gonna get up? I don't know what's happening. Like our alarm went off a couple weeks ago. Our alarm went off a couple weeks ago in the middle of the night and I jumped up and went full Rambo mode, run around the house naked with a pistol, but the none of the kids woke up.
But like I was saying, I'm jealous of that because I'm such a sensitive sleeper now that I wish that I had a better sleep habits, because it would be nice to be able to sleep through that type of stuff. And I came home and obviously the dogs went insane. And I'm worried. Rocky doesn't care. Rocky's down here with me, but the other two are upstairs. And I'm concerned whether or not they're being protective or they're going to attack. They seem so far like they're...
Well, they don't know yet. Yeah, they don't know.
Like, what is this thing?
Yeah,
when she cries, they go crazy.
They'll figure it out. At some point, they're going to be like, oh, this thing is important. Like, we should pay attention. Yeah.
Well, it seems that way already. Like, they just sit there and stare when she's out. So I'm hopeful that they're going to be okay with that.
A lot of hair on that kid, by the way.
Was that a lot? I don't know.
It's a lot for a baby.
Everybody's been saying that, but I don't know what normal is for a baby.
Normal is bald.
Well, she's definitely not bald. So that let's talk about this.
Both of my kids are bald. My Chappie still is bald. He's two. he's got like a mini, a little tiny little mullet back there, like a little ducktail, a rat tail, they used to call him.
So we had midwives, which, you know, no doctor in there, a midwife who was in charge, two nurses, and then we had a doula.
Do you have a doula? Okay.
Yeah, we had a doula. So the goal, the plan was drug-free at the hospital with the doula. That changed almost immediately. We got Roz got in the car and was, so we were chill. This was a Tuesday. It was February 9th. I was actually on a group call with the coaches development group, and Roz gave me a heads up ahead of it. She's like, she had her membrane swept.
Yep.
Basically just disconnect something. And we only did that because her mom's in town and we wanted to expedite things. So she has this membrane sweep at about 7:30. Now it's 11. I'm getting on our group call and she's like, hey, I think it's happening. I'm like, all right, I'll be downstairs. I'll come up after and we'll see where we're at. 30 minutes in,
I think it's happening. I'll be back in a little bit after I finish this phone call.
Meaning like contractions are starting, but but not getting too crazy. So anyway, at 11:30, she texts me. She's like, this is it. We're doing it. And I'm like, gotta go, guys. So we go upstairs. We ate a little bit. We packed. Like, it was moving forward, but it wasn't time to go. And then, so we eat lunch, pack up the bags. And by 12, maybe 12:31. She's like, we're heading out. In the car, she's getting crazy. And she's like, I'm going to have this baby in the car. And I'm like, you're not. Like, I was like, I don't think you are. You know, like, I'll be here, but like, this just happened. So having never seen this, we get to the hospital and she's in like pain. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, this will be done in like 10 minutes. Like, we're going to have this baby relatively soon based on her pain level. And we're waiting, like the doula's with us and the midwife must have been busy. Roz is in a bathtub at this point. And she's like, look, to the doula, to me, I need something. I can't. She was at a six centimeters. You need to get to 10. And she's right. Like, I need it. And I'm like, you do whatever you want. Like, I'm not going to be upset with you. Like, this is your body. You're having this baby. So whatever you need. But because Roz is strong, because I had never seen her, like the only time I ever saw Roz like that was when she was in an ice bath. We did the Wadapalooza competition a couple of years ago. And one of the booths had an ice bath and she got in it and she went into full flight mode. So she panicked, like her body shut down. So this is happening. I'm like, well, since she's in so much pain, this must be nearing the end. So she gets the epidural and it's still like 2+ hours later, she's in a much better mood. I mean, I didn't recognize her during that period of time.
Her head was spinning around and she was spewing. She was just like green. Yeah, there was a green goblin.
There was nothing I nor the doula could do to make her feel better.
This is when you walk outside and you're like, is there a priest in the building? We needed to conduct an exorcism in here.
I just was being quiet. The midwife comes in and she's like, look, you're getting close. Your water's still intact. We can break the water, which would speed things up. And she gave us the pros, the cons, etc. And I was like, break it. Like, why not? Like, let's get this done. Like, we're going to have this baby today. Let's just get it done. So, you know, we discussed it. Roz agreed. We break it. She's like, I'll be back in an hour. And then she comes in at around 5:30. And she was like, are you ready to do this? I was like, wait, how do you know? Like, what? She's like, because I've done this before. So anyway,
she's like, Roz, it's my ready. Job.
She was great. This midwife was great. She's sitting there and she was very fun. We had music playing in the background. So anyway, this is where I was going with this. Talk about hair. As Ross is starting to get this pushing going, you see like hair coming out of her vagina, basically. And then, you know, the midwife's doing her thing. She's dumping water down there, oil down there. And like the longer Ross pushed, like the longer, and I make a joke at one point, I'm like, Ross, we got to take this baby for a haircut this week. We got to get this on the calendar. So, you know, at this point she can handle the jokes, but I was impressed and scared of how long it took. I thought once you start pushing 10 minutes, she pushed for 2 hours.
Well, imagine that you had to shoot a watermelon out of your butt. How long do you think that would take?
Yeah, so the baby would like push out, go back in a little bit, push out, go back in a little bit. And, you know, the midwife finally, like, she's like, at one point, like 7 o'clock, maybe because the baby came at 7:18, she like just changes into these scrubs, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's asking me now, having seen the picture of me with my shirt off, why my clothes were off. Well, first of all,
you got to get skin to skin, bro. Come on.
But yeah, it was skin to skin. And I caught her coming out and she's covered in all the, you know, gunk that a baby comes out with. I wasn't naked. That picture that's Roz's leg in front of me. People think I was completely, my leg is not tan nor smooth like Roz's, but it looked like I was completely naked, but I wasn't. So anyway, she comes out, I catch her, give her to Roz. And it's pretty amazing. Anyway, I know that was all we were talking about today, because I actually have to take her in right now or shortly for that jaundice test. This is my first.
I'm glad you had a good experience, because it's important that you have that. Ours was traumatizing, yeah, which is why we almost didn't have a second kid.
Well, I'm glad, you know, in retrospect, both your Logan and Chappie are healthy. Chappie's turning 2, but amazing experience. I'm a little bit tired, still learning, but you've been a good role model. You've been giving good advice this whole time, so I will certainly lean on you as needed.
And most of my advice, if anybody else wants fathering advice, most of my advice consists of only 4 words, which is calm the fuck down.
That's it. That's really all there is to it.
Just calm the fuck down. It'll be fine.
Well, people, we hope you enjoyed We wanted to give you a little insight into our personal life. We will be back with episodes all about coaching in the near future. But if you have any fatherhood advice for me, I'm also all ears. Post it on the Instagram post in relation to this podcast. And as always, hit up our sponsors, Doc Spartan. Check out our Patreon page. And we've got a new sponsor, RX Smart Gear. If you're interested in getting a new RX Smart Gear, go to their website and you can use the code BESTHOUR for 10% off your rope. If you want really fast double unders like Fern or really moderate single unders like me, RX Smart Gear is the way to go. Use the code BESTHOUR there, as well as the code BESTHOUR at Doc Spartan for 15% off. All right, Fern, I'm going to go take this baby to the hospital and try to get some sleep. I will talk to you later.
So you never miss an episode of the podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel and on all major podcasting platforms at Best Hour of Their Day. Thank you so much for tuning in and for being a part of the best hour of our day. See you next time.